The following program is a production of EWTN, Global Catholic Network.
A reading from the book of Genesis. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "See, I am now establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, all the birds and all the various tame and wild animals that were with you and came out of the ark. I will establish my covenant with you that never again shall all bodily creatures be destroyed by the waters of a flood. There shall not be another flood to devastate the earth." God added, "This is the sign that I am giving for all ages to come of the covenant between me and you and every living creature with you. I set my bow in the clouds to serve as a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow appears in the clouds, I will recall the covenant I have made between me and you and all living beings, so that the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all mortal beings." Verbum Domini. From the first letter of St. Peter. Beloved, Christ suffered for sins once, the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, that he might lead you to God. Put to death in the flesh, he was brought to life in the Spirit. In it he also went to preach to the spirits in prison, who had once been disobedient, while God patiently waited in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few persons, eight in all, were saved through water. This prefigured baptism, which saves you now. It is not a removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a clear conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers subject to him. Verbum Domini.
Evangelii secundum Marcum.
Gloria Domine.
The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.
Verbum Domini.
Read this passage, I always think of a quote I heard Fulton Sheen give on a tape one time. He's quoting Oscar Wilde, said, "I can stand anything but temptation." You know, that's the hard part. I think we've all experienced that in our life. We have temptations from within and without, and Satan is prowling about like a roaring lion trying to trip us up. What's Jesus doing in the desert today? The same thing he's doing with his whole life. He is accomplishing our salvation. By his will, the Spirit drove him out into the desert. He is allowing Satan to tempt him today. He, by choice, goes into the desert, kind of provokes Satan to come and tempt him. St. Augustine said that Christ came to destroy the works of the devil, not by powerful deeds, but rather by suffering from him and his members, so as to conquer the devil by righteousness, not by power. The logic of the incarnation is that God's mercy reaches down to us. God doesn't simply wave his hand, so to speak, to redeem us, but he sends his Son, takes on our human flesh, and defeats Satan, not by the power and majesty of God, but by his suffering, by his righteousness, by his goodness. The Church Fathers, especially St. Irenaeus, speak of things being recapitulated in Christ. The fact that we blew it, that all humanity contained in Adam and Eve fell from grace, and that Jesus comes and restores us, restores man to his original vocation. It means that he repeats again in himself, in a brief manner, in a span of his lifetime, Jesus' lifetime on earth, to reinstate us to this grace, that we recover in Christ what was lost in Adam, that he experienced all the stages of life, thereby giving communion with God to all men. As Hebrews 4:15 says, Christ wished to be tempted in all things without sin. So he's coming down, reaching out to us, experiencing what we experienced to redeem it and to offer it to his Father. The Catechism says that the mystery of redemption comes to us above all through the blood of the cross. But this mystery of redemption is a work throughout Christ's entire life. So we say everything about his life is sacrificed for us. His human flesh is the instrument of our salvation. His whole life merits for us our salvation. So the whole point is that his human actions, the mysteries of his life, are more than teachings. They're more than something to be imitated. But they are a source of grace for us to inwardly transform us, to recreate us, to renew us. They show us how to be holy, and at the same time, they sanctify us. From his human birth comes the rebirth of the members of his body. From his submission to the old law, his circumcision, presentation of the temple, he lifts that burden from us of having to obey the old covenant. In his baptism at the Jordan, he sanctifies our baptismal waters for us today. By his victory over Satan in the desert, he strengthens us against temptation. And his passion crowns all of his saving acts for our redemption. His resurrection from the tomb is the source and model of our own resurrection in soul and in body. He is the high priest who offers his whole life for our sanctification and salvation. So as his death conquered our own, we know that so clearly, we see that on Calvary, so does his victory over temptation conquer our temptations. He is still teaching us, though, in his actions. And one thing St. Thomas tells us is that by his being tempted, we are to know that we can never consider ourselves so holy as to think that we are safe from temptation, that somehow we're above it all. Or that if we are tempted, somehow, you know, we've done something wrong. That could very well be the case if we put ourselves in the near occasion of sin. But temptation isn't sin. And it can come to us our entire life, no matter what our sanctity is. He also, in the desert, shows us how to overcome temptations. We know in Matthew's Gospel, I think it is, that he's more explicit. He uses the Word of God, quotes Scripture to defeat Satan. And St. Thomas said that it also, seeing his example, should fill us with confidence in his mercy, because he knows what it is to be tempted. His temptation, though, is different in kind from our own. He is being tempted from without, and certainly we are, from Satan, from others. But also we have a fallen nature within us that constantly tends towards sin. But the truth is still the same, that he overcomes our temptations. The question for us is, how do we tap into that power? And that's what the Church presents to us in this season of Lent. That's what the Church presents to us in all our sacraments, that, as the Catechism teaches, what was visible in our Savior has passed over into the sacraments. That the sacraments of the Church prolong his life in us. And that the liturgical seasons, our liturgical life, allows us to enter into his life in a privileged way, to have a special access that we can come in contact with these mysteries of his life, these saving mysteries. So Lent, this liturgical season of Lent, we're entering into the desert, where he recapitulates in himself the temptations of Adam in paradise and of Israel in its 40 years of wandering in the desert, that Jesus is the new Adam who remains faithful where the first Adam gave in to temptation, where Jesus fulfills Israel's vocation perfectly by being obedient to the divine will. And all this anticipates his victory, his culminating victory in his passion and death on Calvary. So it is presented to us as a buffet, as a glorious feast for us in the sacraments in our liturgical life, but we still have to enter into it. As the Church Fathers tell us, that he created us without our cooperation, but he will not sanctify us without our cooperation. That we have to make that decision, responding to God's grace, to repent and believe in his gospel, to tap into that power. That we have to turn from sin by his grace and turn to God. That's the two-part aspect of repentance. Turning from sin so we can turn to God. Sin enslaves us to itself. We turn to God, we can have the freedom of the sons of God. And we're told today as well in the gospel that the kingdom of God is at hand. That the plan of the Father was that Jesus is to come to inaugurate this kingdom, is to gather us around him, to join us to himself, to establish this kingdom, and that the church is the seed of this kingdom, the beginning. And that is the Paschal mystery on Calvary, his death and resurrection, accomplishes the coming of this kingdom that is begun here when he comes to preach the gospel. But we are told many times in the gospel, must be converted to enter this kingdom, to be joined to him, to be gathered around him. And we speak of a first conversion for those who do not yet know Christ, come to believe in him and to accept the kingdom as a child, but also a second conversion, that all of us who have already come to believe in him have to do every day. That is the task of the whole church, that every day we need to be converted, that the church is always in need of renewal. That's really quite a liberating truth, to think every day that I get up that I have to be renewed today, I have to repent today. I'm not yet perfect, I accept that fact. I repent and go to Jesus and say, help me. So he tells us today to believe in the good news that God has sent his Son to accomplish his victory over sin in us. That God has visited his people, fulfilling all the promises of the Old Testament. That he has assumed a human nature and united his life with ours. That the saving mysteries of his life are in communion with the events of our life. So I tell you today, I tell myself, try to remind myself every day, to let him win his victory over sin in your life, to surrender to his power and grace, to say that prayer. Think of him in the desert, battling Satan. Jesus, defeat this temptation in me. We know that Satan likes to isolate us. Christ goes into the desert by himself to suffer the fullness of temptation. So we have to remember that. We have to have recourse not only to our Lord, but to the saints, and especially to his Mother Mary. I know of no greater consolation in the midst of temptations than to say Hail Marys. I can't explain it. I don't know why. But something when we go to Mary, she brings us into the heart of the church. And we're no longer isolated in the desert, but we're together with that communion of saints that she stands so prominent in. And she helps us. She obtains that grace for us to defeat Satan. So today and every day, not just Lent, but in Lent we certainly emphasize it and we kind of try to pick up speed, I think, for the rest of the year, but to battle this temptation in the power of Christ, to let him win that victory in you with the help of his mother. Thank you.